The Frank Sontag Show is brought to you by Home Comfort USA and the IRS problem solver, Phil Liberatore.
Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show. A very good Friday evening to you and yours, and welcome to the broadcast. I will tell you this, from last Friday night until tonight, there have been a lot of things that have transpired in my world, a couple of which we can probably talk about on the air. Some of which I can't address, but I'll tell you, it's really an interesting time to be alive when you speak out against something you don't agree with that is primarily accepted as, well, let's just say truth. And what if the truth never came out about something? There's an expression. The truth eventually always comes out. What if it doesn't come out? Now, we just went through 2 years of lockdowns. I know it is popular to say COVID, right? That big bad cootie bug akin to the Black Death of the Middle Ages. And I don't want to sound insensitive, but every year the flu kills a lot of people and we don't really give that much thought. But what if the truth never comes out? There's a commentary by a woman I have never heard of. Her name is Julie Panesse. I want to read a commentary to you. And I hope you stay with me. Because I know the inclination is when we get uncomfortable, we tend to back away. I posted on my ministry Instagram account a little while ago something that's unheard of, and it's crickets. I called something out, and no one even wants to, like, acknowledge what I said. But this woman, wherever you fall into this category, has a lot of guts, a lot of courage, a lot of chutzpah, if you will. Listen to what she says when the question is posed, what if the truth never comes out? This is the question that seems to be on the minds of many these days. The attempt to reach zero COVID was a colossal failure. Original claims of mRNA vaccine efficacy have reportedly been shown to be based on falsified data. Excess mortality is spiking across the globe, and the Canadian government finally admits they have a multi-million dollar contract with the World Economic Forum for, wait for it, traveler digital ID. What was fiction and then conspiracy theory is now reality. Many believe we're approaching a tipping point, that we are on the verge of a revelatory storm, that the truth is finally coming out. And yet, she writes, yet most people still believe in the narrative, still cling to the idea that lockdowns and masking were necessary and effective, that they're very questioning friends or unstable anti-vaxxers, that government is noble and mainstream media is unimpeachable. And from the files of the truly unfathomable, the College of Physicians and Surgeons of Ontario is now urging doctors to prescribe drugs and even psychotherapy in their non-compliant patients. The tipping point is hardly a sure thing. What if we never reach it? What if the guilty are never held to account? What if we forget only to transgress again and again? I'm reading a commentary by a woman named Julie Panesse, who is a professor of ethics at Ontario's Huron University. One of the most powerful and important commentaries I've ever read or even recited. And if I've got one person listening, you need to listen attentively because we're going to get really deep into the weeds here. The professor goes on to write, anecdotes of the harms of the last 2 years are palpable but ignored. Patients complain of symptoms their doctors will not acknowledge. Citizens tell stories the media ignores. Family members try to open dialogue only to be shut down. The stories are told, but for the most part, they are not being heard. The professor writes, I recently interviewed Trish Wood, who moderated the citizens' hearing about the harms of our public health response to COVID-19. She wrote that a week later, she still felt shaken by the magnitude of what she heard, the damage done to careers, families, and children by the blinkered approach of public health experts. She heard the stories of doctors who were silenced when trying to advocate for patients, people whose lives were forever changed by vaccine injury, and most traumatically and tragically, stories of those like Dan Hartman, whose teenage son died following mRNA vaccination. Trish wrote powerfully about the importance of taking account of embedding the acknowledgement of these harms in our collective moral conscience. Her words, dare I say, reminiscent of Elie Wiesel's. In the aftermath of the Holocaust, at a time when the world was so morally injured, so eager for a new start, Auschwitz survivor Elie Wiesel said as his responsibility and sought to speak out for those who had been silenced. At a time when most could not bear to remember, Wiesel could not bear to forget. He wrote, quote, I believe firmly and profoundly that whoever listens to a witness becomes a witness. So those who hear us, those who read us, must continue to bear witness for us. Until now, they're doing it with us. At a certain point in time, they will do it for all of us, end quote. Wiesel's words are hauntingly poignant for our time. Those who tell the stories of the injured knowing they will be ignored, who advocate for patients only to be censored, who highlight the children who have died by suicide rather than from COVID-19 only to be silenced, do it because they believe that a cry in the dark will eventually be heard. And even if it isn't, they feel obligated to testify on behalf of those who cannot speak for themselves. The professor writes, I apologize if my reference to Nazi atrocities offends you. My aim in making the comparison is not to be irreverent, but purposeful. True, the atrocities of our time are not identical to those of the 30s and 40s in Europe, but they don't need to be to learn important moral lessons from them. Wiesel's promise of never again was not just to past victims of atrocities, but to all future victims as well. Please stay with me. And our phone lines are open, by the way. 800-222-5222. She goes on to write, this is how the battle will be fought now. Whether the truth about the last 2 years will be dragged into the open or revised into oblivion. We are already seeing backpedaling among our officials whose mishandling of the pandemic is undeniable. But that is beyond the point, she says. We have relied for too long on institutions to do the remembering for us, to generate moral responsibility on our behalf. In the era of Truth and Reconciliation Commission, personal accountability has been trained out of us. We were taught to believe that institutions would act as our surrogate moral conscience, taking account and making apology for us. I do not deny the importance of collective responsibility, but sometimes moral injury is personal, done by individuals to one another, and the accountability needs to happen in kind. Finally, she writes, there are few who are not personally complicit in the harms of the last 2 years. And the temptation to put on the armor of the bystander is powerful, to say we weren't involved, that we had no choice. But complicity is a form of moral action, sometimes the most powerful there is. Wouldn't it be lovely if our moral slate could be wiped clean, if we could be absolved of all the hurt we have caused? But this does not honor the truth, and it's not the way we exercise our humanity. What if the truth never comes out? It may not. Professor Panes writes, but if it doesn't, It should not be because we ignored those crying out to us, because we stood behind a shield of compliance and deference. The road back to freedom, unity, and reconciliation starts with testimony and accountability, and we need to take those painful first few steps now. You can find that entire commentary at the Epoch Times. It's entitled, What If the Truth Never Comes Out?, written by Professor Julie Ponesse. I would hope and pray maybe we get some comments on that. 800-222-5222, 800-222-KABC. What if the truth never did come out? These are trying times. And times when the few that speak out in truth seem to be the ones that are being silenced. Can you relate to that? Maybe you have a story. Maybe you have a comment. 800-222-5222, 800-222-KABC. The phone lines are wide open, and we will continue with more of this, The Frank Sontag Show, next on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Thank you for joining us here on The Frank Sontag Show, Talk Radio 790 KABC. By the way, if you were with us last Friday night, I shared about the possibility of a new name of this program, which was slash is Resurrection Radio. Oh, boy, did I start something. Oh, well. Do you own that trademark? A lawyer contacted me. Oh, yes. The lawyers. And so where we're at with that, I've got a lot of emails of people, and I just out of spite, because there's a part of me that's just this rebellious, immature, you know, adolescent, punk, that when enough people say no, I want to go to yes. But I've grown beyond that, I'd like to think. So many people are like, Resurrection Radio? Oh, that's awful. Are you just going to start pushing the Bible on us? And I mean, God forbid we talk about the Bible, right? We talk about God. We live in a time when we're witnessing the mocking of God's creation. I mean, look at culture. So we've put it on the back burner for now. We're trying to find out. We don't want to offend anybody, right? I'm not somehow married to that expression, Resurrection Radio. I really like it. Some suggested last week, Revelation Radio. I got emails from people saying, just leave it the Frank Sontag Show. Look, in the bigger picture, it doesn't mean anything. But for identification purposes, if this radio is going to, this program is going to begin to be syndicated, there's something about a title versus just the name of the host. So we'll keep you posted on that. Here's the other thing I want to get into. And I realize, and Paul in Long Beach, hang on, I'll get to you in a moment. I do realize when I get into the next topic, it is a segmented part of the listening audience, at least live. Those of you that listen to the podcast, I would think more than not, the people that download and listen to the podcast are people of faith. So in a moment, I'm going to bring up something that happened earlier today that I've rankled some feathers, and I'll tell you, I made a post. If you're on Instagram at all, and if you don't follow my ministry page, just go to Kingdom Men's Gathering, and you'll see a publicity shot of three guys, and it's probably the biggest Christian men's ministry in the last number of decades. And I made a comment about it, and oh my goodness, I stepped on some toes. We'll get into that in a moment. Let's talk to Paul in Long Beach. Paul, you're on the Frank Sontag Show on Talk Radio 790 KBC. Paul, thanks for calling.
Hi, Frank. Happy Friday.
You too.
Thanks. I don't think there will be an accounting, or I should say, I guess, I don't. The truth's going to be, I forget the exact phrase you used a little earlier, but I don't think people are going to be held accountable because the bureaucracy takes care of itself. And if the legislative branch tries to look into it, I don't think they'll get very far either, because we've already seen that the bureaucracy is very effective at, blocking the legislative branch, and they seem to know where all the skeletons lie in the legislative branch members' closets. So, I mean, still there?
I am. I was just letting you finish. Well, I'll say this. I think your sentiment is in the majority. I think most people would agree with you. I think quite the opposite. I think we're going to have hearings, and maybe 5 or 10 years from now, but I think people are going to go to prison over this. I really do. It's outrageous.
I'm happy to be wrong. I would rather be wrong. But I just think, even back to like the 9/11 commission, it didn't seem like anybody even got fired after 9/11.
Right.
And with all the things that the intelligence community knew, and just it still happened. And that was less, that was seemed like it was at least more just the red tape bureaucracy, and at least not a bad faith error. This is bad faith.
No, Paul, point very well taken. Thank you for calling. I appreciate it very much. Yeah, I get it. The sentiment is they take care of their own. And I think there's a lot of truth in that. And then there's me. Maybe I'm just the eternal optimist. Maybe I'm so out of touch with the basic reality. I just don't see it the way most do. Here's an example. When I throw this out, I'm sure most will go, well, that's never going to happen. Although half the country would like to see it. I think there's going to be impeachment hearings for Joe Biden. You may ask about what? I don't know if you caught the latest, but Saudi Arabia just threw the president under the bus. Did you hear about this? If you follow the mainstream, probably didn't, but it's getting some attention. The Saudis say that the president wanted them to delay a decision about limiting oil production until after the midterms because he didn't want new fuel price hikes until after the election. That is impeachable, corrupted. That's against the law. That is bad stuff. Now we'll see if anything comes of it. I get it. It's Joe Biden. All you have to say are two words, Hunter Biden, and you go, nothing's ever going to happen. I get that. But we'll see. 800-222-5222. Later in the program, the Parkland verdict came down, and Nicholas Cruz received his sentence for the killing of 17 people. And in case you don't know, he did not get the death penalty. We're going to talk about such a heavy topic, with the importance being, if we don't stand as a culture for some type of rule of law, we're going to have anarchy before you know it. And I know some of the reasons. There was more than one juror that said life in prison because he's had such a horrible upbringing, et cetera, et cetera. But if ever there's a case where I think somebody deserved the death penalty, seriously, it would be this. But no, So we'll get into that a little later. And for your own information, I've, for the most part, throughout most of my life, I've been anti-death penalty. So we will talk about that. We'll also talk about speaking the rule of law, pro-life arrests and the stories of those arrested, an 87-year-old grandmother. Wait to hear what she had to say. And if you're into the political banter, Tulsi Gabbard denounced her party very articulately. We may get into that as well. 800-222-5222. So let me spend just a few moments on this. And again, this is probably primarily for those that are listening to the podcast after the fact. I have a men's ministry. It's a Christian men's ministry. It's not a church ministry. And for those of you that may profess some type of faith in Christianity, I don't know about you, but from a men's perspective, I look in the church and I think the church, for the most part, has not done a very good job. They teach men to be soft and nice and kind and gentle, and that's part of it. That's part of who we are as Christians. But they're leaving a whole lot out of the equation. And probably the largest Christian men's ministry in recent history posted a publicity shot that came across my Instagram a few hours ago. And again, I'm not here to speak ill of Promise Keepers. They've done some amazing work in the past. I'm a little concerned about what they may be doing now. But if you don't know what I'm talking about, just go to Instagram and go to KMG Ministries, and you'll see the photo shot. So this is what I posted. And if you have any comments at all, again, you're welcome to call 800-222-5222. And I think this is much more than just about Christianity. It's about culture. It's about manhood. So I wrote, okay, I'm going to get some grief for this, but so be it. As you may know, Promise Keepers was huge a few decades ago, and please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. When you see this promotional photo, what goes through your mind? And so far, my little survey, 100% of everybody I show it to all say the same thing. For me, this is part of the problem with Christian men's ministry. We're taught to be, I just said, soft, nice, and kind. But seriously, does this truly typify manhood? I don't think so. I believe God made us to be warriors for Christ. And if you don't think we're in a cultural battle right now, not sure what to tell you. I'm not comparing my ministry with Promise Keepers. I'm merely pointing out what I think is a huge problem in culture wars today. And I believe we need to step it up in our churches and ministries or else. I say this a lot. Right now, we're witnessing the mocking of God's creation, and I believe it's time to put on the full armor of God and get in the fight. We either choose or don't choose, but seriously, two words that Gavin Newsom once said are the most dangerous words, the weakest words in the human language, in the English language, is man up. We got to man up. Now, I usually get quite a lot of traffic, a lot of comments. It's like crickets. And I think I've said something, maybe because I wasn't raised in the church. I think I've said something that is, I don't know, maybe it's outside the perception of most people that attend a Christian church. But I got to tell you this, I don't see weak, soft, nice men as being part of the solution, if you will. I think it's a large part of the problem. I also talked to a dear friend, and I'm going to break in about a minute, Wayman. I talked to a dear friend earlier today, and he made a very interesting point. He said, I saw your post. He said, I think this is a testosterone problem. Do you know just from the standpoint of culture how much testosterone has decreased in men? Men are more effeminate. We have all of this non-binary, right? No such thing as male and female. All of this confusion. We're telling our young children as a five-year-old, little Johnny, if he thinks he's a girl, well, we're going to affirm that. Or he can decide for himself. This is the bottom line for me. This is pure evil. And I suspect a lot of it has to do with spiritual warfare that I believe is biblical. You might not believe in the Bible. Okay, fine. But it looks like our culture has kind of lost its moorings a bit. And when I see photos of very effeminate men, and somehow this is the way to go, I think this is a large part of the problem. If you have any thoughts, comments as well, you can call the program 800-222-5222, 800-222-KBC. You can also email me directly at frank@kmgministries.com. We will continue with more of this, the Frank Sontag Show, next. Talk Radio 790 KABC. Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show. Talk Radio 790 KABC. If you would like to email the program, you can do that directly at frank@kmgministries.com. for Ted and Gina that emailed me on the break, of which you did not like what I had to say in the previous segment. No, you're welcome to call the program. As a matter of fact, the phones, we've got Steve and Menifee will be first up. If you call in and want to take me to task, we'll move you through the board so you don't have to wait. I just want you to know, if you're not familiar with the program, I'm not going to be disrespectful or mean-spirited. I think disagreement is important. But for those that send emails and take cheap shots, nobody reads them but me. And trust me, I'm not devastated. I'm not hurt. Your words weren't something that, no effect. I could care less. What I do care about is honest, open dialogue and discourse. And if we disagree, let's talk about our disagreement and why we have different views. Now, this is not directed to Ted or Gina, but I think stereotypically in the times we live, the left's tactics are all about name-calling. Like, they can't have conversations or the debates, so they just call you things like racist, misogynist, homophobe, all that stuff. Well, let's talk about that. What do you mean specifically? No response. So, again, you can email me, frank@kmgministries.com, or you're welcome to call the program, 800-222-5222, 800-222-KABC. You'll talk to Tricia. She's a breath of fresh air. She's who you will speak with before you get on the air with me. Stephen in Menifee, you're on the Frank Sontag Show. Hello, Stephen.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Good.
Well, I was listening to you in your last segment, and I was thinking pretty critically about it. At least I tried to. And you're talking about men being weak. So it's not only physically weak, like dietary issues of eating the wrong stuff, making themselves weak, but it's spiritual weakness that is of my main focus. So I think it's been a big problem that people have, men in general, have catered to this idea of being humble. And yes, we're called to be humble. Scripturally, we're told be humble, but people confuse being humble with being weak, especially the people in the world, and they see it as a target. And the weak one gets dominated. But there's a difference between meekness and weakness. I heard somebody describe it a little while ago, and it resonated with me, that being meek doesn't mean that you're incapable of standing up for what's right. It means that you know how to, let's say, you know how to use a sword, but you don't have it out waving it around all the time.
That's
you keep
right.
It sheathed.
That's right.
And that's a sign of strength, isn't power under control.
That's right.
And a lot of guys have become demoralized to the point where they don't even know how to stick up for themselves anymore. They don't know how to stick up with what's most important, and that is what is godly. So instead of being able to walk up or when confronted with evil, let's say the most egregious right now is this CRT and transgender nonsense. If you stand up for that, for what's right, what's true, you become a target for evil to attack and to bring down because it cannot abide the light of day.
Stephen, so, I'm grateful for your call. I've got other calls waiting. I agree with you. I won't say 100%, but 99%. And thank you for your powerful call. I look forward to our next exchange. By the way, I do think Stephen is spot on. I have a men's ministry. We have a retreat in a week, next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. By the way, I will not be here. We're going to do a best of. And part of what we do at our retreats, we get guys to open up and speak honestly where they're at. I got an email from somebody when I said it was called Man Camp. They're like, you know, it's not going to be like, you know, sleeping bags outside or anything. No, it's a great facility. But we're honest and we get up and we do some teaching and it's a great weekend. We've got, I think, 6 spots left. Just go to franksontag.com if you have any interest at all. We'll see about maybe getting you up in the mountains next weekend. Dave is in Whittier. Dave, you're on the Frank Sontag Show. Hello, Dave.
Hi, Frank. So I think it's in the message that the flock is being taught. As it says, so as they were fed, so they were fed according to their pastor. So when you take a look at what the Bible really says about drawing near to God, in the book of James, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. So that means, as we as Christians, we purge ourselves. We do our best daily not to sin. But the message is conviction of sin. It's Christ, conviction, how to become a Christian, and what is the result if we don't become a Christian? So, you know, that's all in the method of Paul and Peter, of Jesus. If you leave out conviction of sin, the world will not be saved. They will not. They have to be convicted of their sin, Frank. And that's not in the preaching. That's a lot of that. It's not happening.
Dave, I appreciate you, and I thank you for the call. I agree with you. If we were to spend a segment on our own take on the state of the church right now, you and I would probably have a lot of agreement. And I thank you for the call. When you look out in the world, whether you profess to have any level of faith at all, maybe you call yourself agnostic, are you concerned about where our culture is going? Or is this all good? And again, I'm not drawing political correlations, but I'm sitting in a beautiful air studio with two large screen TVs. And there was just a commercial for Prop 1, and there's Gavin Newsom smiling and doing his thing. And I'm like, California. Is this like thumbs up paradise? We hear so much about, there's so much division out there. I don't buy that at all. I think that's the way power-hungry, corrupt people attain more power. But I think more and more people are getting pretty fed up. You look at culture right now, you got to know something's wrong. Especially if you survived the last 2 years of lockdowns. 800-222-5222. Now, we cover a lot of different things on the broadcast. 2 weeks from tonight, my good friend Craig Parker Adams will be in here. He's a rock and roll guitarist. He has a brand new album out. I'm going to ask Craig to play, and we're going to tell stories. He's got some amazing stories. For many years, he ran recording studio in Hollywood that's historical. So Craig will be in a couple weeks. His brand new album is called Vestali Buell. Here's kind of a fun commercial to invite you to maybe pick up a copy.
In a world where seahorses ride dirt bikes and gumballs grow on trees, comes the DNA cleansing rock concert of purified notes to help you be the most incredible, ultimate, bestest you. Vestali Buell, a sassy tropical blend of coconut, banana, mango, pineapple flavored rock guitar, here to liberate and heal your soul. Take the journey and get your copy of Vestali Buell now at IARERecords.com. That's IARERecords.com. And be a part of the greatest selling rock record of all time, Vestali Buell, coming to a stadium near you.
Warning. Initiates healing upon contact.
For more information, you can go to CraigParkerAdams.com. That's Craig's website, and his brand new album is phenomenal. It's called Vestali Buell. We're going to break in about 30 seconds. I don't know what it is about disagreement. Like in the old days, way back when, you would send a land letter to somebody, right? Now they didn't have all this instant communication. Emails were non-existent, social media. But all of the emails I've gotten have all been very negative and angry. I can't believe there's another conservative on this radio station. It's hysterical. Tulsi Gabbard came out this week and denounced her party. This woman's been a Democrat. In fact, for those of you that just emailed me, again, we embrace disagreement here. If you want to talk a little politics, we can talk about that. I'm going to share some of Tulsi's very words about why she's out as a Democrat. We have a lot of open lines, 800-222-5222. You're welcome to call and share anything and everything as well. And we will continue. More of the Frank Sontag Show next. Talk Radio 790 KABC. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Talk Radio 790 KABC. Listener Shay just emailed me and said, what's up with Resurrection Radio? You're not calling your program by its name. Shay was one of a handful of people that liked the name. We're in a holding pattern. We want to make sure and check out legalities. Most people don't like that name, at least those that weighed in last week. I like it. Worst case scenario, the backup may be Revelation Radio, but we're gonna name the program. I think for just imagery, it's important, especially if we're going to start syndicating this program, which it looks like we are. All right, I also want to make mention of one of our sponsors. You just heard a spot, Phil Liberatore from IRS Problem Solvers. Phil is the best when it comes to accounting and doing income taxes. He has been a supporter of my program for a long time, this program and past programs. And he called me this week, and I just want to be really clear with you. I understand most of you in October, you don't do anything with your income taxes. But it may be a good time to get a jump start, make an appointment, because Phil usually is slammed and he's got some time. You sit down, he can go through your last 3 years of income taxes and may even be able to get you quite a refund because he knows a lot of little ways by which he can do things. So to me, it's a win-win. If you just reach out to Phil, if you do file income taxes, there's two ways you can do it. Go to his website, stopirspain.com. 87,000 more agents set in the next couple of years. You want to talk about IRS pain. And Phil has relationships with the IRS. That in and of itself is a good reason to maybe get to know Phil. Or ring his phone. He called me Tuesday. Nobody's called me in the last few days. 877, the number 6-SOLVER. 877-6-SOLVER. Just set up an appointment. Get acquainted with him. He'll do phenomenal work for you, I guarantee it. 877-6-SOLVER. Phil Liberatore from IRS Problem Solvers. In a moment, Tulsi Gabbard came out, did a video about why she's leaving the Democrat Party. Before we do that, let's talk to Raul in Huntington Park. Raul, you're on the Frank Sontag Show on 790 KABC.
Thank you, Frank. Good evening. Thank you very much for taking my call. Boy, there's a lot I'd like to talk to you, but I know I'm limited on time here. But I wanted to highlight the fact that the City Council of L.A. Criminally preserved District 10 and being represented by a black person. Okay, what they did is when Ridley Thomas defeated Grace Yu, who's Korean, in that November 3rd, 2020 election, a year later he was removed from office because of the scandal of the thing he's involved with play for play or whatever it was. And then Nery Martinez, they say she's the racist, right? Well, she criminally appointed Herb Wesson to come back to the city council to run District 10. And the city council, who should all be fired, should all resign because they criminally appointed him to come back. He was term limited out, Frank. That was going against the charter, and they forced him in there, and through a court order, he was removed. He resigned. Okay, when he got in there, Herb Wesson is corrupt. What he did, he went in there, he fired Ridley Thomas's chief of staff, Carly Katona, and the deputy chief of staff, Fernando Ramirez. And then he appointed Heather Hutt as his chief of staff.
Okay, let me jump in. With respect, we're losing a lot of listeners. Not that this isn't important, but you're naming names. So I have two questions, and then you can share a closing comment. You've mentioned the word criminal or criminally three times. Are you a lawyer?
Oh, no.
Okay.
But we can say unethically, but...
Yeah, but let me make my point here. I think you got to be careful when you throw the word criminal out there, even though it seems as if there is definitely some wrongdoing here. The other question is, I'm sure you followed this week what transpired. There's a lot of talk there's going to be an investigation. Do you think there's going to be an investigation, and do you think it's going to be an investigation that's going to get down to some of this corruption?
Well, if it's Rob Bonta doing it, I don't know. You know, but I think what they should look at is how they unethically appointed Heather Hutt, who's black, to represent that district. You know who should be in there, Frank, is Grace Yu. She came in second. She received almost 40% of the vote, and she did real well, okay? And I think she should have that seat, but she's Korean.
So how is it you know so much about the city council? I would say you're probably more well-read than the majority of people listening or the majority of people that live in L.A. County.
You know why I turned against, especially Nuria Martinez, when she said, when the pandemic came, and she said, we must protect ourselves against the unvaccinated. You know, that really, really angered me because she was trying to make herself to be pariahs.
Sure.
You know, because I don't want to have anything put in my body that hasn't gone through trials and all that. You know, and she's the one who imposed the vaccine passport at the restaurant. So I had to go to Pasadena to eat at IHOP. I couldn't eat here in Highland Park. So that's when I turned on, you know, I really started watching, you know.
And that's commendable. Let me just say this. That is commendable that during the last 2 years, I would say a lot of people that I interacted with, by which some of the decisions made affected them, in a lot of cases affected them very negatively and critically, they still acted like it was no big deal or they didn't do anything. You, on the other hand, you took responsibility and then therefore got involved in being informed and active, and I support that 100%. And I look forward to you calling again, maybe in the coming weeks when maybe, hopefully, more things transpire. And for what it's worth, I absolutely think the other two need to resign, for sure. 800-222-5222. A woman that left politics, or at least a party, didn't resign. She said, I'm out, period. Former Representative Tulsi Gabbard of Hawaii, a Democrat, announced a few days ago she's leaving the Democrat Party. By the way, if you're a Democrat, call the program. Tell me why you are. It kind of boggles my mind these days. And I'm not here to say I'm a Republican. I'm not. I'm conservative, but I think Republicans are a lot of the problem, too. Not near as much as the left, but Tulsi Gabbard finally had enough. She said she decided to leave in part because Joe Biden and his administration failed to respond after activists started parking outside of the homes of Supreme Court justices, which is, by the way, it's against federal law. Nothing happened. We see a lot of this. In fact, in hour number two, we're going to talk about some of the pro-lifers that have been arrested. Gabbard compared the treatments with how the administration has been arresting pro-life activists for alleged violations of another law. Listen to her words, quote, when the party in power does not believe in the rule of law, but they're responsible for writing and enforcing laws, our democracy is doomed, end quote. I think I need to read that again. When the party in power does not believe in the rule of law, but they're responsible for writing and enforcing laws, our democracy is doomed. She went on to say, I can no longer remain in today's Democratic Party. It's now under the complete control of an elitist cabal of warmongers driven by cowardly wokeness who divide us by racializing every issue and stoking anti-white racism, who actively work to undermine our God-given freedoms enshrined in our Constitution, and who are hostile to people of faith and spirituality, who demonize the police, who protect criminals at the expense of law-abiding Americans, who believe in open borders, who weaponize the national security state to go after their political opponents, and above all, are dragging us even closer to nuclear war, end quote, Tulsi Gabbard. Man, there's a courageous woman. Wherever you fall in terms of agreement, disagreement, take issue, think she's phenomenal, that's a courageous woman. It takes courage to speak out these days. I'm so tired of reading emails or getting phone calls from people that say, you know, I really want to, like, speak out, or put a post up, but I don't want to pay the price. Okay, so just keep cowering. Keep playing the, dare I say, coward. And sooner or later, you're going to be forced to choose. But I mean, in terms of social media, really? There's so many courageous people that have found a voice, even though it's a false type of courage, right? Where they can anonymously attack others in social media. It's not even real, per se. But start somewhere. Take a stand somewhere. Or maybe you just think this is all good. Last thought, and we'll come back with hour number two. I was recently castigated and chastised for a position I took on EVs, electric vehicles. And it was kind of a meltdown attack. And I'm like, what? Does your view really have anything to do? Or can you really impact anything? Look, we live in California. I just saw Gavin Newsom's mug on the screen. This dude's signing some legislation into law. And I don't wish anybody sleepless nights, but if this doesn't wake you up, I don't know what will. But take a stand. Find something in life that's worth taking a stand over. My gosh, what is love, right? 800-222-5222. We have a wide open board, 800-222-KABC. Our number two, Nicholas Cruz, the Parkland shooter, was sentenced this week outrageously. Talk Radio 790 KABC.
The Frank Sontag Show is brought to you by Home Comfort USA and the IRS problem solver Phil Liberatore.